hello, everyone out there in the world, or in there, in the world. I guess someone's inside right now. Is that how that works? Anyway, I'm Emily.
And I'm Elle.
That is. Yeah, she is Elle. And we are coming to you from different sides of our basement so that we don't get each other sick, even though, newsflash, we live in the same house.
No, so they said social distance. Social distance, Emily. They said social distance.
You just don't like me and you look awesome. Anyway, we are here today to talk to you about a series that we both really like, called The Red Rising Trilogy.
Yeah, I liked it so much I took the books and I threw them at Emily and I said, read these. Because I couldn't just hand them to her because we can't be near each other. So I had to throw them at her.
You slide across the floor. It didn't have to hit my head. I still have a bruise.
Yeah, but you can't slide across the floor because you don't know if they're going to pick something up from the floor. Even though our basement is really, really clean. It's like really clean.
You know what? You're being silly. But I'm okay with it.
But safe.
These books were so good that I could hardly put them down. And given the fact that I can't really go anywhere right now, it was pretty sweet to have such great books getting me through. Well,
yeah, just
me. It took me about 2 days, but
yeah. Well, just hold them on your side of the basement until this is all over. I don't have gloves to spare to just take them back from you.
That means I can read them again and again.
If you so desire, yes.
I do. I love these books. I will say though that on our pearl clutcher scale, they're pretty pearl clutchy.
Yeah, they are. Which on the one hand wasn't really expected because overall, if you look at the series, there's no scene that's too detailed in the way that we had to really clutch our pearls too much. But when you look at it, when we had to actually start grading it and breaking it down, then we realized that the scale was tipping a little bit more than we expected.
Yeah. The language was a little bit heavy on the, we gave it a 3 because it gets pretty, there's some choice words in there. Not all the time. The cool thing is it's not every character. Like, it's a very character-specific choice. So there's one character who curses a lot, so his language brings the rating really high, but it's not like the author just said, oh, everyone curses all the time because it's just an adult book. Like, this specific character, that's his way of talking.
Yeah. Actually, though, if he says an F-bomb, it should be 4.
Oh.
So it's really the one character kind of tips it all, even though, like Emily said, overall the language is not bad. It's the one character. So if you could skip through the character, which you can't really because he's really important to the story, but it's not, the author he's not using F-bombs like confetti, like other adult authors will. It's very specific in who's using them, which is good.
Yeah.
We think it's good.
And they're in the middle of a war and fighting people and killing half the time. So if ever there was a time to be a little bit explicit with the character's language, that's probably it. Which brings us to the violence scale, the violence rating. We gave that a 3.5, which I think is pretty justified.
Yeah, because everyone's killing everyone, basically. And in the second two books, it's part of a war, so that kind of makes sense. But in the first book, it's very Hunger Games-y. Which, on the one hand, is like, oh, I recognize this. And on the other hand, you're like, okay, we're past that already. But by the time the book, you're towards the end of the book, you do kind of feel like, okay, good, we moved past the Hunger Games feel. But that, because it's in a school and these kids are warring against each other in a school, but like really bloody warring against each other, that's when the violence feels really heavy. Versus in the other two books that because it's part of the war, you realize it's kind of like a necessary... It's sort of a necessary element. And again, he doesn't sit too much on it. He does describe blood flying all over. And
he calls it a red mist.
The red mist, that's right. He does describe that.
I like it. Red mist.
Right. He does describe that, but he doesn't, it's not gory violence. It's just, well, like I said, it's kind of gory violence, but he doesn't sit on the violence too much. He doesn't go on and on talking about it. It's not Tarantino level. It exists, but
no,
it's not Tarantino level.
Like Pearl Harbor. If you're watching Pearl Harbor, it's a war movie, and then people's heads get blown off, and the characters might linger on, oh my gosh, this just happened to my friend, but they're not, like, really going into the detail of, and there was this much blood and bone. Like, oh my gosh, my friend's head got blown off.
So. Right. Right, more like that.
Mentions of rape.
Oh yeah, that's true. There are, especially in the, mainly in the first book. You don't see it so much in the other two books, but that's also part of the school, them fighting each other in the schools, because it's kind of like a little bit, it's almost Darwinian, right? It's like the toughest has to survive, is basically what that first book centers around. So it gets pretty bad in that first book. But he also, he doesn't describe rape. He does reference it, and we sort of see the state people are in afterwards. Not overly descriptive, but you know what's going on, and you know that it's not a pretty situation. Yeah. So,
but you know, it is a pretty situation. The romance that we have, maybe going right into romance from rape is not the best thing. They're very different things, people. We're not linking them whatsoever.
Right.
It's just the next rating in our system. But talking about romance, the three, right? These books.
Right. We gave it a three because there's one scene in the second book that bumped it up. Even though it could have been almost closer to one, even, but if it wasn't for that scene in the second book. But again, each book, there's three books in the original trilogy, and then I think now he's got another two or another three coming out that take place like 10 years later. So it's still in the same universe, slightly different characters, but also the same characters. So each book has only one romance-like scene. I guess the first book might have two even, because that's when it's before his wife is killed. So you have a little, but he doesn't sit on it. He doesn't overly describe it. He doesn't, we felt like it happened and it's out. Like the one kiss and it happened.
We're getting close, but not, and then I did this and then she did X. It's more of like the emotions leading up to that kind of scene than
right.
The down and dirty of the scene.
Right. Right, which is also, it's nice to see that from an adult book, because we know that there's going to be more mature content in an adult book, but it's nice to see that a writer is focusing more on the story than on all this stuff that supposedly sells, you know, that we have to go gory violence in order to get the book to sell, because it's so not, and the romance, to be heavy romance or steamy romance in order for the book to sell, because he doesn't do that, and the book still sold amazingly, so it just proves that it could be done.
Well, he does. What I really like about it is the world that he built. I mean, all of these, because it's a dystopian type thing. So all these dystopian books, they explain the New World Order and wherever the people live and how they dress. But he's done so much, because even though he's created a New World Order, they're on multiple planets and in different parts of the planet. So there are differences between people who live on the surface and under the surface, and people who are hanging out in space, and people on Earth versus Venus. So he does a really good job of changing how people live, and also this new society and the rules of it, and also where it came from. You know, not just, everyone destroyed each other, but giving a very specific reason for why this new world exists, which I really like.
Yes. And he also has, because everyone there is divided by class, so with the main, I don't think we described the story, but the main thing is you have the lowest class is the red class, and the highest class is the gold class. So you have this one guy from the red class who's going to try to bring down about the downfall of the gold class. And they do that by just making him a gold, which is a whole other thing, because they have to change his body, because red's bodies are different, etc., etc., etc. And at the end, he kind of has to stay a gold in order to do what he has to do. But it was, even though you have these class warrings and the class differences or whatever, you also didn't feel like he was sitting heavy, like trying to lecture you about class differences and things like that, and the color differences. You didn't feel like it was some sort of lecture about relations between different people. The way that it's there, you can very much understand what's good and what's not good about it. He does trust you a lot to make your own conclusions from the way he builds the world without having to bash you over the head with any sort of messages or things like that. Which is also nice. Yeah, that's also nice about it.
Yeah. And the characters are so, I mean, there are a few characters that are, most of the characters are not just like good or evil. So even though it's a space opera, the characters are so multidimensional and are thinking about things and making actions and compromises, that even though you asked about the society and maybe there are some messages about other things in it, it's really just about the characters.
Right. Well, we see that in the third book. Because on the one hand, you know that the main character, Darrow, you know he's the hero. So we know we're following him. We know that there's going to be some ultimate victory for him in the end. Especially if he's following, you know, this hero's journey thing. We know these things are going to happen. But we do see how each book progresses, that there are compromises he has to make that he doesn't want to necessarily make. But it's necessary. Either he knows he can't accomplish every single thing that he's setting out to do. So the point is he going to get the main point done at the expense of certain peripheral points? It's not in peripheral points. At the expense of even, some planets are going to be free and some are not. And he has to make, those are decisions he has to make because he knows it's not an all or none, right? It's about making certain kind of compromises or decisions. And he knows that he's the one who has to live with these decisions. Especially when you're going to war and a lot of people are getting killed. He knows it's going to happen. But does this have to happen now? Is there something else that's being accomplished through this? There are points to think about, even though it's just this, you know, even though it's just a sci-fi that's just, there are some really interesting points to think about, actually, now that we're talking about that.
Yeah, no, I definitely thought about a lot while I was reading them over here in the corner on myself.
You're not going to make me feel bad. You're not going to make me feel bad the more you describe that. This is for your own safety. Just because we never leave the basement so we couldn't have been exposed to anyone doesn't mean we don't have to follow the rules.
I think that's exactly what that means.
Yeah, well, are you a scientist? No. So don't pretend like you can science better than the science people who science with science.
Fine. Well, then I'm going to go have lunch now because I'm hungry and you're going to have to wait 20 minutes until I'm done so you don't come upstairs at the same time and get my germ.
Yeah, well, just please use the Lysol. Notice that there's Lysol at the steps and also the Purell dispenser is at the steps and also the gloves that are at the steps. And also the hazmat suit at the steps. Please use them. Thank you.
Fine. Okay, well, I'm going to go make lunch. And I don't know what Elf's going to do. But I don't know what she does when she's in the basement by herself. And frankly, I don't want to know. But she might be masterminding taking over the world. So we'll see you all soon. This was the Red Rising trilogy by Pierce Brown. Hope you all enjoy.
Cheers, everyone.